We should get Mr. Kennedy on our podcast.
That's the first thing that like I'm recording now. Okay. Welcome back to Rob and Ted's Excellent Adventures, where we would just rather have Mr. Kennedy on our podcast than just be alone. Right?
Yep. Indeed.
So, fishing. What happened, Rob?
So, last week was Father's Day.
Indeed.
And I got Dad his first baitcaster.
Wow.
He goes to the pond we fish at with his baitcaster.
Which one?
The smaller one.
Okay, the smaller one.
And he catches
uh-huh.
a new PB.
What?
For the first fish.
No shot.
On his baitcaster.
Wow. If only I was there.
And then.
I was there.
We go fishing later in the evening at the lake.
The big lake. Ooh.
And then, not on his baitcaster, he catches his PB to the PB he just caught.
Wait, that wasn't on his baitcaster?
It wasn't on his baitcaster.
What?
No. It was on a jitterbug, though.
That's not a baitcaster.
I know, but this is why that is significant.
Okay.
The jitterbug. Because once upon a time,
uh-huh.
Dad and his dad
uh-huh.
would go to this lake
uh-huh.
where a fish about the size of what he just caught uh-huh. was caught on a jitterbug
oh.
and was mounted on the wall. And his father wanted to do the same thing, catch a fish about that size and mount it. It never happened.
Hmm.
And then on oh. Father's Day, he catches a fish about that size on a jitterbug. And I was trying to get him to saying, hey, let's go to the bank. You're going to hold it in the lake and keep it alive for 5 minutes while I run home and get the scale. He was like, he didn't want to do that. But my estimation is I would agree with yours, 3.
No. No, no, no. This is where we disagreed. This is where we disagreed. I think the one he caught at Mike's was three, but pushing 3.5, if not 3.5. And that one definitely looked 4.
I don't think it was 4. Because the last...
Dad said it was bigger than the one.
It was fatter.
Dad said
it was fatter.
Dad said it was fatter. It was definitely 4. If not 4, then it was pushing 4, like 3.8, 3.9.
Yeah, I'm okay with saying pushing 4, but saying it was 4.
Okay, so then as fishermen, if we're saying pushing 3, pushing 4, that really means, like, just say 4.
All right.
That you know, works. Don't let the truth get in the
way. But what I like about that bass...
is a story.
Well, is a story, but also it's not an impossible PB to break.
Tell oh, yeah.
You have a PB of 6 pounds. It's going to be a while till you break that PB.
What? I got close. I got 5.
Oh. Yeah, it's going to take a minute. It's
yeah.
going to take a little bit.
Well,
him, he could catch...
Tonight.
He could catch it any day.
Yeah.
Which realistically, you could too, but I'm just saying there's more fish in the sea for him.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Than
that is true. Well, and that also makes his PB a freshwater fish instead of a sea fish, because before his PB was a sea fish, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, probably the red drum.
Yeah. Or the massive flounder that he caught.
I don't think the flounder was big. Well, maybe.
Did you see the picture?
I don't know. I need to see the picture again. But anyway. So, yeah. Fishing. And I finally went fishing again on that Father's Day, which I hadn't been out since Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
Mom caught a PB too. I realize I'm the PB master. I have been with so many people when they've caught their PBs.
You're also the humble master.
I know. Don't get me started on that.
Okay.
But I've been with Ryan when he caught his PB. I've been with you. I've been with Clara. I've been with Hosanna. I've been with Mom and Dad. And I've been with Robert, Lavelle, and Samuel.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. You are the PB master. Stop doing that with your shoe. It's messing up the mic.
And also Henry. Because
oh, yeah.
he hadn't caught a PB bass. I don't
there
think he said he caught like a 1.5 pounder.
That's a PB.
And I don't think he said he's caught a fish bigger than that. I think that's the biggest bass he's caught.
There you go.
So if you want
wow.
a PB, just go fishing with me.
Yeah. Our address will be linked in the description below.
Yep. I charge $50 an hour.
Oh, dang.
I think that's actually a pretty good rate. For
I couldn't even afford you.
I think that's pretty good for fisherman rates as it is.
I couldn't afford you. I'm broke.
That's tough. Well, you don't need me.
Yeah, I really don't, because I'm super good at fishing.
Anyway.
And I have all the patience in the world, too.
Anyway.
Hunting season is coming up in like, what, 3 or 4 months? 4 months?
Depends on who you are. Depends on what you hunt. Depends on when you're going to hunt it.
Okay, so 4 months, bottom line. So the plan before...
No,
3 months. So the plan before was... Are you done?
2.5. It's 2.5.
All right, 2.5. Final verdict. Yeah, that's the okay. It's
2.5.
Okay. Ruling on the field is 2.5. Next play. So the plan before was that you were gonna go to Washington. And I think we talked about this on the podcast already, so I'm not spoiling anything.
I wouldn't be spoiling it, but yeah.
So you're gonna go to Washington. And you can give a quick recap of that if you want, but you are going to leave your bow here with me because my bow is out of commission. But hold up, wait just a minute. I started a new job working full time like those real mans do. And my boss sold me a bow for $150. It's not some bear bow, like some Bass Pro bow. It is a Matthews Solo Cam from 2010 that has everything one could need. 3 pins, a drop away, which is the thing that holds the arrow up so that when you pull it back, you don't need to like do the whole like Brave thing in that movie where she's like holding it with her finger. Or Legolas might be better. But yeah, it has a drop away, which is super bougie, and it came with enough arrows. All right, I have broadheads. He gave me some good broadheads, G5 Montics. If anyone knows who Kip Campbell is, he's just the goat of bows, and he uses G5 Montics. So we're going to be set. Not going to need to steal Rob's bow, so he's going to be able to bring it to Washington.
I plan on taking it to Washington, though, to show my uncle what kind of bow he should get, because he was asking me about bows, what bow he should get for elk hunting and stuff. And I was saying, well, you can get a bow for, like, for deer, $300, easy. But he wants it for elk. I would rather him have something quality if he's hunting elk, mm-hmm. like a Hoyt, like a Bowtech, like a Matthews.
Well, even if you got a Hoyt Torx, that price still wouldn't be heavy enough, right? Because your bow only goes up to 60 pounds, I'm pretty sure.
I think so, yeah. And you know, like,
and you would not want to shoot an elk with 60 pounds unless you're like right on top of it. Like maybe if you were riding
you want,
it.
You would want around 80.
Yeah.
You want, I think most people hunt with 80. But yeah, so I'll just be bringing that. I'm not going to hunt with it just because the tag I'm going to get is $450 for a black tail. Just a black tail.
Just one?
Just one.
Dang, son. I'm going to be spending, like, what, $40
I might
bucks
be able to
and
pay
get
another 100 to get another one, but I'm not sure.
Ugh. I'm going to be paying, like, what, $40 to get bear, turkey, and deer?
I wouldn't get bear. Don't get bear.
Doesn't the
no.
state tag
you
come with
buy.
One bear?
No.
Okay. Well, 6 deer and what, 2 turkeys?
3.
4, 3 turkeys?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm
going to be doing that frugal hunting.
But I'm going to buy all my tags once I'm there and I can like talk to a game warden, game officer to like find out exactly what I need. And mm-hmm. like, are there any, cause my uncle knows like everyone. So he'll know some guy and he can tell me the loopholes and how I can get the most out of my money.
Or he'll know some guy who knows some guy who knows Johnny Cash, who knows some guy.
Yeah. So that's where, so I'll just be bringing my bow. I'm not going to hunt with it just cause it's not worth the risk. I'm actually thinking of, instead of buying a bolt action, borrowing my friend's 270. That's $1,000+.
Nate?
Yeah.
So you're not using this as an excuse to buy another gun now?
Well, it is a good excuse.
It is
a great
excuse, yeah.
But I think I kind of want to save money.
Okay, yeah. More money to
buy
in Washington.
$750. For the gun itself. Uh-huh. And then I would want to spend probably $300 on the scope. That's $1,000.
Yeah, that's a little bit of money, not going to lie.
So,
okay, I see.
I'm thinking, I've been going back and forth on it, but
Gotcha.
I don't know.
I mean, I'd say either of those.
But other thing, too, is I don't know, too, about maybe because Dad offered the Grendel. And I'll be coming back. For y'all, gun season will only have had 1 week. Y'all have the Henry and the 300 Blackout.
The only thing I'd say with that is the Grendel is probably the most kid-friendly rifle to use.
It is, but 300 Blackout will be fine.
Is he not letting you take the Henry or the 300 Blackout? Or
I
is
wouldn't
it
want
kind
those.
Of,
I would want a bull. I want.
Oh, you want a bull?
Mark is 200 yards. I want to be able to shoot at 200 yards.
Okay.
Which I think about it, that scope would not do well at 200.
It's still probably a little spec.
Well,
so maybe just drop the 300.
Or just borrow the 270. Because Nate won't be using that at all.
Uh-huh.
So I think that'd be better. But yeah, hunt with 270 for them black tails. Mm-hmm. Going for a buck. But if it comes down to the wire where it's like 2 weeks until I leave, it's going to... If it's brown, it's down.
Okay, so how big of a buck are you going for? Because I know blacktails are a lot smaller than deer, but are you going to be like...
if two forks. Okay. So I want 4 points.
So you want a 1 point?
I don't want a spike. I want a spike. I want two on each side.
Oh, so you want a 2-pointer.
There's no limit to how small those 2 points can be, right? Like, if it's a two-pointer by, like, Boone and Crockett standard, like 1 inch on each side, it's going down.
Okay.
That's what I like.
World's smallest Boone and Crockett deer.
Well, no, because there are spikes out there, and I'd rather not shoot a spike. But, yeah, blacktails do have smaller antlers, so I do not have...
Yeah, you're not going for that 12-pointer.
No, 12. There's probably only two 12-pointers I get shot every year.
That's crazy. So that is crazy.
I won't go elk hunting, bear hunting. I can do everything but pull the trigger.
Uh-huh.
And I'm super excited to duck hunt.
Oh, you're going to be duck hunting up there?
Yeah.
So bringing your shoddy?
Yeah. And Washington, if I think it's a Real Tree or Mossy Oak website, if you look up the best places in America to duck hunt,
Washington
is up there.
There you go.
Because it's right in the Pacific Flyway, and it's voted as the most scenic place to duck hunt while still getting your limit.
There you go. That's pretty cool. I think I might, because the Hearns have a lot of, like, fire duck hunting places.
Really?
Yeah, they go all the time. So I might, like, try to butter them up so that like, well, if you come duck hunting with us, and I'm like, yeah, I would love to do that.
A lot of clients too. You find a client where you're like, oh wow, there's a million mallards, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
Couldn't you ask technically too?
Legally, yes.
So,
but yeah. We have not done that many like properties though that have.
We don't need to really.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new turkey property, which we just now need to learn how to turkey hunt.
Oh, is that Mossy Hill?
Yeah, I mean, they were gobbling all over.
Uh-huh.
We just weren't hunting them right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time me and Dad went, which I think was only twice, honestly.
Yeah.
We heard gobblers.
All right.
So, we got our turkey spot down.
Uh-huh.
And then duck spot... For those puddle ducks, not yet.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's working.
They hunt mallards and wood ducks.
That's exactly what I want. And that's about all you can get in Virginia.
Yeah. We saw two mallards on the lake. I think I already told you, but we saw two mallards on the lake just chilling. Yeah. We were kind of like skeptical because it was getting dark, but they like kind of, they looked like mallards and then boom, they got up and flew away. And we're like, oh yeah, those are mallards.
Yeah, well, they're about 6 months late.
Well, better late than never.
Not really.
Yeah, because then we can't shoot them. Never mind. Well, we'll get them next year. Hopefully they stick around.
Yeah.
Make some babies or chicks.
Yeah, so Washington. I want to kill an elk. So, like, to be in the hunting party, though, where we kill an elk.
Yeah.
Like, he was saying that we only have, we can either do archery or muzzleloader, and I'm going to be saying, do not. We're not doing archery. We're not doing archery. We're going to do it with a muzzleloader.
Uh-huh. Like, is Will the one going to be doing
it? He has a tag.
Okay. Gotcha.
But I want to be a part of an elk hunt that's successful.
Uh-huh.
So archery would just make it tough.
Yeah.
So, but I'm very excited for that too.
Yeah. Sounds pog. So you got a new full-time job.
Yes, I did.
What is that job?
That full-time job is a college internship.
Oh.
At our church.
Hey-o. What's our church, Robert?
All Saints Reformed Presbyterian Church.
What a great name.
I know. So, yeah. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I'm reading a lot of books. I'm reading through the BCO, the Book of Church Order.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading through... Seeking a Better Country, which is a history of Presbyterianism in America.
Wow.
And you want a fun fact? A fun Presbyterian fact?
I would love a fun Presbyterian fact.
The official start of the Presbyterian Church, not when John Knox started it, because it was technically illegal, or the battle between Protestant and Catholic was still going on, so they didn't have religious freedom. So it went back and forth. But once it started and it was able to keep going because the Protestants won, that was only, I think it was 16 or 17 years before America.
Huh.
Meaning American Presbyterianism is, it was 15 or 16 years before America's first General Assembly.
Oh, wow.
So Presbyterianism in America is not that much younger than Presbyterianism in Scotland.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like Presbyterianism should be the official religion of America.
Well, and see, that's the other interesting
part. That's kind of what it sounds like.
Well, no, that's the other interesting part. So all the states, even after they declared independence, had a state religion. Or not state religion, a state denomination. Oh. Right, so Virginia and New York were Anglican. Okay. Huh. Pennsylvania were Quakers. Maryland was either Methodist or Episcopal. So they had all those.
That is crazy.
So Virginia used to be an Anglican state. But with that, there were no states that were Presbyterian.
Uh-huh.
At all.
Whoa.
As their state denomination.
Yeah.
Right? As their recognized version. And so Presbyterianism is like an underdog denomination and has been its entire existence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because like I said, when John Knox started it in Scotland, it went back and forth between Protestant and Catholic
uh-huh.
for so long. And then once it finally got it, and then it started up in America, it was small.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of that book, it talks about how many influential people in America were Presbyterian. So wow. Eight of the signers of Declaration, I think around 8 presidents have been Presbyterian, including Andrew Jackson, Ronald Reagan, and Woodrow Wilson. They were all Presbyterian. There were some astronauts who were Presbyterian.
That's
who have been
cool.
on the moon, I think, or at least been in space. Mr. Rogers.
Uh-huh.
He was Presbyterian.
Wow.
So.
There's your daily dose of church history.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. We're the underdog denomination, you know? We just need our cool faith and our cigars to keep us going. That's pretty cool. General Assembly just happened as of, like, less than a week.
Yeah. That being said, the mainline Presbyterian Church has fallen, which is the PCUSA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they're kind of whack anyway.
So. But when I'm talking about the GA, the first GA, like, that's the
that main was line. The PCUSA.
That was the PCUSA.
GA.
Yeah. Hmm. Or, yeah.
Well, so the PCA GA just happened then, yeah. I should say. I have not heard very much about it. We're having a shepherding. Yeah, we're having a shepherding group from our church happen on Friday, so I'll probably be asking around Mr. Fender for both legal advice and GA things because I'm winning in court.
Would you like to know what I know about GA?
I would.
Okay.
Spoilers.
So, Mr. Hutton said that, who is one of our ruling elders, has said he's never been to a general assembly where everything's gone his way so much.
Bless you.
And he was saying, I heard another elder say that it was interesting because a lot of the younger pastors were the ones who were standing up for the biblical, what the word says, and not just what we think we should do,
or like what I have a friend who does it and I like my friend,
yeah, so. Or I feel like I'm being led to the spirit to do something that's not actually biblical. In the Bible.
Yep. Yeah, okay, so, that's which, that's good.
Yes,
that's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, that got me excited when I first heard
oh
that.
Yeah, absolutely, that's awesome.
So that's what I've heard.
That's pretty cool. That's a really good thing to hear, considering, like, just you look around and see, like, just how America is going to hell in a handbasket. And we got a General Assembly that's making good moves. That's, I'd say that's pretty good.
What, yeah, and the other thing, too, is so we are the most conservative doctrinalist church in our presbytery.
Uh-huh. And but not in, like, the whole, like, GA, though.
No.
Definitely not, yeah.
But that being said, all of our representatives have said the PCA is going in a good direction, right?
Oh.
Right?
That's a good thing.
And in a better direction than it has been in the last, like, 4 or 5 years.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good news. That's really good news.
Yeah.
That's cool. So we'll probably get a little bit more information on Friday and invite Mr. Kennedy onto the podcast.
Maybe, yeah. Next year, though, Richmond.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be, because you and I are going to be there. We're going to be,
well, yeah.
We're going to be in, we're going to not necessarily be participating because neither of us are elders, but we are going to be inside of GA. So we'll understand, we'll hopefully learn a lot. And
we'll be helping with it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we should try to get, like, all of our friends who are in the PCA to help out with
that. Oh, yeah. That's a even look.
Like, even look, yeah. because
I bet I could convince, like, Lucas to go for sure.
Yeah. Because I watched it wasn't a sermon, but it was more of an address by Fred Grieco, talking about being a churchman and serving, like, your church.
That's not the same thing that Mr. Kennedy was telling us about at the last show.
No, it was.
It is?
Yeah.
Is, because I still want to watch that, so after we're done filming this, then, yeah.
Yeah. So.
But spoil it for me.
It's not what you think, right? But I think it's good, and but what he's saying is be involved in your church, do what your roles are, right? Mm-hmm. And us not being, you know, of office.
Yeah.
What we can do to be churchmen is, oh, GA is in our hometown. Mm-hmm. Let's volunteer. And also let's get all of our friends who are also in this denomination to try to serve too.
We should get the Carlsons together. That'd be cool.
I don't know if, I mean, they could probably help, but yeah. Why not you first work on
Lucas?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
But yeah. And I feel like I haven't read or listened to it yet, but yeah, what was that called? Just that, if anyone listening, it's like Mr. Kenny said, it was like the,
I can pull up the exact name for you.
The exact name. So yeah, we're very Presbyterian.
Very. Let's see here. Fred Grieco, Rediscovering the Genius of Biblical Presbyterianism.
Rediscovering the Genius of Biblical Presbyterian by Fred Grieco.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to listen to it. That's super cool.
There's also an article that was sent out of an overview of a summary of GA. I'll send that to you too.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. I know when we went to Presbytery, that was like a really cool experience and like really fun to listen into. So I feel like General Assembly just has to be that much cooler, hopefully. And I know they had some interesting, at least one interesting topic.
Yeah, well, I'm going to Presbytery Thursday to watch. But if you wanted to come, I don't think anyone would have any problem with you coming to watch, because it would be the same position.
Yeah.
It's July 26th on a Thursday.
This Thursday or next?
July 26th. So it's in a month.
What is it, all day?
No, it's at 6 p.m.
Oh, well then, yeah, I'll be there. I'll totally be there.
In Hopewell, though.
That's not too far.
But,
yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't know Presbytery was coming up.
Every 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Huh. That's pretty sweet. So Presbytery coming up. GA just happened. That's pretty sweet. I don't know. Is there any more good topics to talk about? Juicy topics?
Not that I can think of. I mean, we're in the dog days of, I mean, not necessarily fishing. We're just not fishing as much as we could because we all have full-time jobs.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I know I'll be hunting when you're gone.
You still have to.
So for anyone who doesn't know, we have a slightly large family. Some people would call it large. 10 kids, 2 adults, all natty. But so we hunt essentially for, we don't really buy ground beef anymore. Like, we'll buy it occasionally for burgers just to get some more.
But now we realize that we don't need to.
So we haven't done that in a little while. But like, basically all the ground meat that we use is ground venison, because it's just way better. Like, you know,
well, kind of. So we've been eating on the pig for pasta generally.
Okay.
The taco mix that we, if that has beef, if that has meat in it, it's generally going to be beef. Mom has not been using the ground venison, and I told her, just use it up.
Mm-hmm.
Just use it all up. Yeah. If we run out in August, that's fine.
Yeah. So we try, basically. But did mom start like not using as much because she wanted to like conserve it?
Or? She just wasn't using it as like, because she was like, well, it's not enough to really get us through, and it's like, that's fine, just use it all up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, so
because there's deer in there that's probably 2 years old.
So. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to fill the freezer enough with ground venison and venison in general to just last us through the whole year because it's healthier. And Robert's been our main meat maker because he actually enjoys hunting for deer. So this year, since Robert's going to be in Washington for 3 months,
two and a half,
then the torch gets passed on to me. So I'll be out.
Yeah, well, and the most deer, watch out, that's about to.
Yeah, we have 1 minute.
The best we've ever done is 2 deer. And so my hope for this year is we can get 3. Mom wants like 5 or 6 to actually get us through the year. No, I don't, that'd be great if that happened, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I just want
to
get 3.
So we're trying to fill a tag, yeah. But 3 is good enough. All right, Robert, in 30 seconds, any final thoughts, questions, or concerns?
No.
Okay, me neither. What's our thingy?
I can't remember.
There's something from Lord of the Rings. Insert Lord of the Rings quote here. Y'all have a great day, and make sure to follow us and listen to all the podcasts.